Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video, the second in our series on how to study the Bible. Thanks for joining with me, and we're going to pick up right where we left off, which was Psalm 119. Now, do you remember we looked through a range of different ways in which the Word of God was expressed in ways that we could understand? Well, we are going to do the same thing. Then, last video from the Old Testament, this video, the New Testament. But by way of a quick summary, let me just pick up here from Psalm 119 some of the different words that we read in English referring to the words of God, written or spoken. So we have in verse 12, "Teach me your statutes," referring, of course, to the law, the written word, "with the judgments of your mouth," the spoken word through the prophets. "I rejoice in the way of your testimonies," the living word through us in what God does with us. "As much as in all riches, I'll meditate on your precepts," the words of wisdom. "I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Now, in Psalm 119, there were many different ways in which the word was expressed for us. But as we move now into the New Testament, we're going to focus on just two different Greek words, which are very important together in their understanding of what it is that we're reading. Now, before I explain them, I should just explain why. Why is it important to know and understand what we're going through in this video? Well, very simply, as it says here, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Depending on the translation, all scripture is God breathed. So in a sense, everything that is in here has come to us being for our correction, for our reproof, for our instruction, as it says there in 2 Timothy, by God allowing it and breathing it and making it so. But in English, we have these two different words. Sorry, in Greek, we have these two different words, which in English either show up as word or the word. And it's important for us to understand what is this word that is being given to us if we're going to study the word. You with me? Good. Clear as mud? Great. Well, let's get into this because this is beautiful. And if you've not heard these things before, it may take a little while to grasp hold of them. But bear with me. And this is actually the second time that I've recorded this video. The first time I found I had to pack too much in, talk too fast to explain with, you know, ease of understanding. So I might even split this over a video or two just to make it fit. And then we're going to continue on. You'll see it transition to the one that follows afterwards. But let's have a look at these two Greek words. They are logos and they are rhema. Now, the best way to explain them, I guess if I can simply put, is this. Rhema refers to, well, what I'm doing now, the spoken word, or what we might see and read here in the Holy Scriptures, the written word. Rhema refers to instruction given, encouragement, and so on, a command. This is rhema. It's very much present. It's very much now. Whereas logos, on the other hand, well, logos refers to, in a sense, the eternal word, the ever-present, the pre-existent word. Now, that is just, you're thinking, sorry, what? If we've not come across this before, and that's okay. Maybe I can explain it like this. Have you ever heard of a fellow called Plato? Now, Plato was a very famous Greek philosopher, and the Greeks, they loved their philosophy. But Plato, who was very much into understanding the depth of these types of meanings, said everything, so we're just talking about, you know, things, everything began with a thought. So here we have my favorite cup, man of God. It began with a thought. Jewish philosopher Philo took it one more step. He understood. He said, but every thought requires a thinker. If we look back at logos, eternal, pre-existent, always there, the thing, rhema, the thought and the thinker, always there, that's logos. And what I'm going to do as we go through these is show you examples. Now, I think, and I didn't run the numbers, Logos is used probably nearly five times as often, if not more, than Rhema in the Greek text. So these examples will give you both. I found two scriptures, another one where I've got two together, and it's both Logos and Rhema in the same scripture, and then others just that focus on one or the other. But as I mentioned earlier, it is important to understand this, the Holy Scripture. And I call it that rightfully so because 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, depending on the translation you're looking at. Everything that is in here in the Bible, what I call the Holy Scriptures, it's there because God put it there. But as you'll learn, right up front, we're going to start in Matthew 4. Not everything in here is actually the words of God. Let's have a quick look. Matthew 4, this is the temptations of Jesus. Satan, the enemy, trying to tempt Jesus after he has spent his time in the wilderness, fasting, seeking the Father, and now in that weakened flesh human state, the devil comes and tries to tempt him. First temptation, verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, "Now, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." I love Jesus' answer. This is beautiful. Verse 4, but he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And every word, that's Rhema, the spoken word. It is written that we should live by that spoken word. Now then the devil caught on. Okay, so let's use that word. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give charge, his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash a foot." And so he's actually quoting Psalms 91 here. He's that the devil is using prophecy and using the words, the written words of God, to tempt Jesus. But Jesus says to him in verse 7, but it's written again, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus understands how important this is in defeating the enemy. We're going to come back to that as well. But here we have this section of Scripture, God breathed, inspired for our benefit, as 2 Timothy says, for our correction, for our instruction. We've got the words of Satan here. I've just finished, well, I'm still partway through, nearly finished a six-month study from time to time, popping back into the book of Jeremiah. We have the words of false prophets in there. We have the words of Nebuchadnezzar in there. So rightly so, we call these, as they are, the Holy Scriptures, God breathed, God inspired. I still fall back to that which I was first taught. Nothing wrong, the Word of God. But understand, and these videos will explain what or who is the Word of God. That's what we need to understand, because what the Scriptures do is they reveal to us the Word of God. Interesting. Hold that thought. Put a question mark on that if you're taking notes. Underline and circle it, because we are going to come back to that. But let's explore a little bit further. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. Here we have both Rhema and Logos together. A tree known by its fruit. But I say to you, Jesus is speaking here. He says that for every idle word, that's Rhema, every idle word, those things that we say that men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. But by your words, Logos, you will be justified, and by your words, Logos, you will be condemned. Ouch. That's harsh. Harsh words that we have there. But why the difference? What's the difference in understanding? Well, if we go back to the beginning of chapter 12, we can see the context of whom and what Jesus is speaking to and about. This is a Sabbath where he heals someone here on the Sabbath, the healing on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees just go off. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Now, this is the man with the withered hand. I'm sure you know the story. Jesus heals him. And from there, we can read on. These are the people, the Pharisees, who should have known that Jesus was the Messiah. They should have known, yet now they're speaking against him. For by your words, Logos, by that eternal, pre-existent word, you will be either justified or by them you will be condemned. Hold that thought. Hold that thought for just a moment. We will explain more as we're going. This is Logos versus Rhema. So much more detail in Logos than just that clear, spoken, written word of instruction, for example. In Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, the purpose of parables, and then the sower explained, I am going to come back to this one for more detail later. But just very quickly, verse 18 and 19, therefore hear the parable of the sower. This is Jesus explaining it. When anyone hears the word, now this is Logos. Interesting, I don't know why. The NIV says the message. It's like grabbing some water and just pouring it on the purpose of Logos, weakening that word. When anyone hears the pre-existent eternal word of the kingdom and does not understand, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. This is he who received by the wayside. And so I'm going to come back to this to explain. But in every case here, we have where it refers to the word, verse 20, the word, verse 22, verse 23, all Logos. And that is the same, the other section that I'm going to come back to in more detail next video in John 1. And we're going to do a whole study just on John 1 because that's what most people think of. When we think of Word of God, we think of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then over the page in verse 14, and then the Word became flesh. Logos, in all cases. In the beginning was the eternal word. And the eternal word was with God, and the eternal word was God. He, there's a key, was in the beginning. And then the eternal word became flesh. Now, obviously, those of you who know the scripture and aren't new to this, you know that that's Jesus. So hold that thought. It's important to understand. But for the moment, for time, let me just quickly go through these another couple more verses in regard to explaining differently how they're used. John 5, verse 24, most assuredly Jesus said, I say to you, he who hears my word, Logos, the eternal preexistent word, and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. Over in verse 38, but if you do not have his word, Logos, abiding in you, because whom he sent, because you do not believe, him you do not believe. And it goes through. You've either got this eternal word abiding in you, or you hear it and it becomes a part of you, or it doesn't. John 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, this is interesting, that's Rhema, does not receive the things which I say, has that which judges him. What judges him? The word, the eternal word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. Logos. He who receives my words, Rhema, has that. So who does not receive my words will have the eternal words judge him in the last day. Rhema and Logos together. I love this one. Acts chapter 10, Verse 44, Peter is speaking in the house of Cornelius. While he's there, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And verse 44 explains that, saying, while Peter was still speaking these words, that was what was just spoken about beforehand, written here, but he was speaking, Rhema, these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, Logos. For those who heard the spoken word, Rhema, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, the eternal word. Our spoken word can become in a man's heart the eternal word. This is what I want you to understand. This is why I get excited by this stuff. We can speak the words. We can speak the written words, Rhema, and they become unto that person salvation through the eternal word taking root in their heart, as we would have read there, and we'll go into more detail later on with the parable of, you know, the sower and the seed. That eternal word can take root and produce fruit because of the spoken word, Rhema. Romans 16, another famous passage. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed, and believe in him who have that not heard? That's verse 14 of Romans 10, and this one in verse 17. So faith comes by what? You know this, hearing. Hearing by what? The word of God, Rhema. We hear the word. Someone said to me once, I wish God would speak to me. I said, here it is, read his words. No. I want to hear it out loud. I said, read it out loud. Being a little facetious, but you get the point. The spoken word, the written words in here can become for us the eternal word in our hearts. Two more. Ephesians 6, oh, you know this one, the armor of God. And in 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God, Rhema. The spoken word, the written word. We have to use, as Jesus did in Matthew 4, scripture to counter the enemy. It is our sword, this written word. So important. And even then, when people misquote it, as Satan did in Matthew 4, we must correct it and strike it down with the word. And this is the key. You cannot take any single verse or even a passage of scripture out singly on its own. You must see it in context as a piece of an overall puzzle. I'm going to go into more detail in that further into this series, understanding. So let me just show you now, before we go back next video, the sower and the seed, and then a beautiful exposition of John 1. What is the word of God? Revelations 19, verse 13, and he, Jesus, was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, Logos, the eternal word, the pre-existent divine word, not the thing, not just the thinker, not just the thought, all. The Word of God, his name, Jesus, one of many names, the King of Kings, the fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valley, he who is called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the chief cornerstone, the Word of God is him, is Christ. Logos. And so when, as we saw here in Acts 10, verse 44, we hear the spoken word, or we share the written and spoken word, as I'm looking to do right now, it can, within you, just break forth as the eternal word, as God grants you and gives you understanding in here, in your heart. This written word It changes lives. That's what I'm trying to say. It changes lives from within. All right, folks, we are going to leave this video here. Thank you so much for joining with me. Next video, I've got a men's group video coming up next because I'm going to be speaking at one of the groups over the weekend. And this series will then continue on afterwards. Thank you for joining with me. I pray God's blessing and understanding in your life. Bye-bye.